What up, what up, what up, Buckle of Tron Man's podcast. It's your boy Lala.
Yo, this RC, the one and only. We got producer Taos
in the house, alive and kicking still.
Yo, alive and kicking.
My guy was out of commission.
Out of commission, yo, TMP.
I was on deathbed, bro.
On death row?
On death row?
Death row. This is the latest signing to Death Row Tausi. Yo, welcome to the TM peeps. You're back with us again for another installment, listening on all your favorite podcast platforms. You know, you're liking, you're subscribing, you're sharing, you're telling your friends, you're telling your family members.
Rate, review, subscribe, son.
They're not doing it. They're not about it, bro. They're not about it. Are you guys about it? I don't know. I want to see. I want to see like next week. I want to see like 50. And I want to see like almost like bot level reviews. Like podcast very good. Podcast very good. Top number one in India.
Yo, apologies to the fandom. We needed to take a week off. Your boy, Producer Taos.
I mean, we didn't really need to.
Yo, producer Taos was out.
We didn't really need to.
Yo, how are you going
to
expose me like that?
That's right. Our boy producer Taos was feeling a little down. Yeah, he was feeling a little down.
He was down with the vid.
Down for the count. COVID knocked him out for a solid
week.
Well,
do we have a confirmed kill on you that it was a COVID?
I mean, not confirmed. I haven't done I didn't have a positive test, but like pretty sure it was COVID. I would say like 80% sure it was COVID.
I mean, yeah, you had all the symptoms. You had all the symptoms though.
In all fairness, like we've established, COVID symptoms are all symptoms.
Pretty much.
So like it could be like PMS. It could be someone's period.
Anything.
You could have a broken arm to be like, symptoms of COVID include broken bones. just like what? How are you feeling, bro? Like what happened? How were you feeling in the lead up to it? What was the experience like? Because I'm to set the context for that, because you know, Dougie said COVID's over. So we just have to assume it's over.
Oh, it's over?
I don't know what pandemic. I have no idea.
So it's just like I think that's what's happening.
It's like RC's movie. Oh, you made a movie?
Yeah.
You made a movie? I know what you're
I mean, you know, I don't really like to talk about it that much. Yeah. I don't like talking about COVID. I don't like talking about my movie, which has 1.2 million streams and
climbing. Round of applause.
COVID's climbing. On again, off again, climbing. Both climbing.
The streams are climbing. COVID's
probably
climbing.
Actually related correlation.
Yeah, Corey. Yeah.
Because exactly. People get COVID, they stay home. They want to flip on RC.
That's exactly
it's perfect.
Right.
So that's the thing, is like the context for it is like it's kind of like, oh, what COVID, but then you just randomly will naturally hear, because it's still here, like people get it, and then they get, you know, well, how were you feeling? Give us the firsthand account.
That's exactly, I think, what happened. Like, you know, things are opening up. I mean, I'm still masking up, but I'm still, you know, going out, living my life or whatever. I don't know where I got exposed. There's no way to figure that out. There's no contact tracing anywhere anymore.
That's right.
But I just know I got sick one day. I was like, oh shit, what is this? I haven't gotten sick in 2 years. So what the hell is going on?
So your immune system was like, hey, do we know how to do this anymore?
Exactly. My body's like, hey, yo, wait a minute. Hey, whoa.
Yo, straight up, everyone's fucking getting it right now. It's like, it's kind of like another round of like what happened around Christmas, where like everybody was fucking testing positive. It's going around like super heavy. So like, yo,
what did it feel like? What was it like? Like,
so
how long did it last?
It
kind of felt like somebody took a hot poker and stuck it up my butt.
Because I've had that done before. Not a pleasant experience.
Okay, gotcha.
But dude, honestly, it felt like when I got the booster.
Yeah.
Like I was knocked out for like a full day, feverish, coughing, you know, that kind of deal. So it was similar to that, but just longer lasting. And then I think it basically lasted like 4 or 5 days rather than just the 1 or 2 days. So it lasted pretty well. That's why apologies to the fandom, but I was KO'd. I wasn't able to record anything.
So, yeah. All good, man. Needed needed the break. But
we actually tried to outsource. We tried to outsource your job.
Yeah, exactly.
We went on Fiverr. We're like looking.
Hey, you already did outsource to me.
It's all good. Man's needed the week to recharge. We're coming back fresh.
Yeah.
That's it was like the last stretch of Ramadan.
Yeah.
Eid time came around.
Eid Mubarak to the fandom listening up. It wasn't just Tausi. No, real talk. RC was a little. You know that it was like man was running on fumes last couple days.
Running on empty,
not gonna
lie,
running on empty.
The last few fast, bro.
Last few fast. It was, you know what, man. It was not gonna lie. Like I always say this, man. Like I think the whole point of fasting for people in North America is like, just like, so here's what's happened. You're gonna do this thing for 30 days. You're gonna be shit at your job. Okay, you're not gonna sleep too much. You're also not gonna lose weight, even though you think you should. Because, it was just like towards the end, I was just like, it was a good Ramadan for a lot of people. I think because it was the first time in 2 years people got to do some of the things that make the month. You know, people going to the mosque, people going to iftar parties. Like,
yep.
You know what I mean? Like there's that whole vibe. It didn't just feel like you were sitting at home, not eating. Right. So it was a nice vibe, but you know, the last stretch, like you get a little worn and then you kind of get to those last couple of days. And then everyone was like, there's always this whole Eid thing. Like when's Eid going to be? Somebody's looking for the moon. Somebody's calculated it on a spreadsheet. Almost like Saudi saw it. People like, no Saudi, or like it's global sighting, but then they won't believe some countries. Like 1 year they said people in Somalia were like, what do you want? We saw the moon in Somalia. They're like, nah, we don't believe you, bro. Nobody believes.
They lost all credibility. They don't even trust them to spot the moon.
Yo, it wasn't fair, bro. They're like, yo, we saw it. They're like, you know what? We're gonna wait a little bit still, guys.
It's cloudy in Somalia right now.
So I was kind of gassed at the end of it, but it was good, man. It was good. And then, you know, man's got to have like a proper Eid chaos. Because that's the thing is like, you think the most tired you're going to be is the last few days of Ramadan. But like Eid for most people, a full Eid is an exhausting day. It's like a total shock to the man's body. Okay, because you're still on Ramadan schedule, so you don't end up falling. First of all, you're waiting up till midnight to find out if they like saw the moon in California, right? You're just like you're sitting there refreshing this site that's run by like some imam on like a WordPress website. It's like we did not see the moon in California, so it's just like so. Then you find out at like midnight whether it's going to be Eid or not the next day, and then you're on this Ramadan schedule, so like you can't sleep, you fall asleep in the day, so you don't fall asleep till like 3, and then to get to Eid prayer on time you gotta like leave the house at like 6:30, so you're like 3 hours of sleep. And like my Eid was split into like 6 different chunks of seeing people, bro. It was chaos. I was like more tired than when I was fasting, bro. You're like eating, you're running around the city, you're like carrying pots of Nahari to people's houses. You gotta go to the bank. Just like my mom was brewing this pot of Nahari.
Where's my pot?
Yeah.
Hey, bro.
What's going on? Yeah. Spread the love. Nahari is special, bro. I don't know why you're doing this.
It was COVID Nahari, bro. You can't have it.
It's okay. I've already had COVID.
Yeah, bro. It honestly felt like we were back at my mom was like every night, at like midnight. She like, cause she was tired in the day. So she's like cooking this Nahari at night. And it looks like she's in like an old village in like the Pashtun or something, like stirring this huge pot with like a wooden spoon. And then every night she's like, put it back in the fridge. It's like 50 pounds. It gets heavier each night.
She
keeps thickening the masala. I'm like, bro, I can't lift this.
What?
Best.
What happens is traditionally Nahari, right, is made like you cook it through the night until the next morning. So it's like, even I think the word means like morning food. So a lot of people would like, you start cooking it and then you just let it simmer. It's like an ancient dish, like back in the day.
Yeah, it's like a super slow cook.
Yeah. So people just brew it through the night and then that's why the meat gets all tender. And so you let it kind of cook through the night and simmer on low heat. And like you stay up all night. Lazy men are sleeping. Like women are checking on this Nahari all night. And then it's like, and so, but like because she was fasting and she was trying to cook it for the weekend, she would like do it at like 11 p.m. Like, it was just like random times. So then like she was just like brewing it over like 3 days. So it was like extra juicy. It's like the meat was just like falling off.
Oh yeah. Just, oh yeah.
That,
oh yeah.
That's damn. A nihari, bro. You just eat is the most shock to your body because you go through like Ramadan starvation and you eat 25 meals in one
day. And it's like super rich meals too, right? It's not even like you're not fucking around. It's the extra heavy stuff.
Exactly. Bro, by the time we got to my uncle's, bro, like this was on the tray. It was like one entire table of desserts, just an entire kitchen landing of desserts, like cookies, pies, cannolis, brown desserts, like just, you know. And then there was the other tray was like, it's like nihari, biryani, some sort of meat pies. And then my cousin,
love those pastry meat pies, bro. Those pastry are so meat good. Pies.
And then my cousin from who we shouted out last time, the Naan and Chai gang, they literally bought a tray of the stuffed naans.
Nice.
And then my cousin bought like extra spicy hot pepper pizza nova. So It's like you're eating like hot peppers, biryani. You get home and your body's like, yo, we should have stuck to fasting, bro.
Well, yo, listen, Eid Mubarak from all the TMP mans, but also Eid Mubarak from your boy Dougie, live from the Sikh Spiritual Center Khalsa Day Parade in Etobicoke. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, you know. Bro. Yeah. How does this man continuously find ways?
Guy, listen, it's a steady stream of fucking fuckery with this guy. There's just beer shenanigans.
There's a talent in that.
It's this like guy has just in one... time for fucking just in time for next month's election. This guy has to let this shit out. And for those of you who don't know, your boy Doug Ford released a tweet saying the 2022 Sikh Spiritual Center Khalsa Day Parade in Etobicoke was a huge success yesterday, and it was an honor to join the celebration. Once again, Eid Mubarak, and best wishes to everyone celebrating in the Sikh New Year. This
guy, man's gonna start like a race war.
Oh man,
Sikhs and Muslims.
Oh my god. Also, so just so you know, not all brown people are the same. I know we have the same haircut. Yeah. Okay, I know we all live in the same places. This is why we're like diversity hires is not just like a fun thing you do. It's an imperative for your administration, bro. Because if you didn't even need a brown guy. You could have had like a dude from the Caribbean. Like, would have been like, yo, I don't think Sikh celebrate Eid, dog.
Yo, RC, bro, don't worry, bro. All you brown guys look the same, guy. It's all the same shit. Bro. What are you talking about?
All y'all look like.
Yeah, all you guys look the same, guy. Turbans are the same. Your beards are the same. Your haircuts are all the same, bro. What are you talking about?
Dougie, bro. Dougie in his orange turban just shouting out Eid Mubarak, like forgetting the context, like thousand year war between.
I would love if he did it like actually on a speech when he went to the Khalsa Day Parade.
That would have been
cool. And we just said, there's like Eid Mubarak to all of you celebrating here. And it's like, wrong crowd, son.
Yo, but like, is there a better way to insult two communities at the same time?
Yo,
I feel like that's the best example.
There's an art for a man to be so brazen that he can like take a single sound bite and like one day insult the entire scientific community, insult women, insult minorities, insult poor people. Like, just his whole ability to like say one thing and set off 50,000 people at once. It's wild. It's like, it is an art. He is the master, but he is the ultimate waste man of the
world. I was gonna say and this is it's been a little while but waste man of the week goes to
of the week
of the month
of the series of the series. I don't think anyone could top him at this point,
guy, right? He has like the biggest string of waste man of the week awards, so like I think he's the goat waste man.
Yeah, you know who could have given him a running in this last couple weeks was the board of directors of former Ryerson University.
Yo.
Another imperative for diversity hires in age. Bro.
Yo, TMU, son?
TMU, Toronto Yo. Man's University.
Toronto Man's Toronto University. Man's Yo, we did it. We did it. We did it. We you finally made it, bro.
Yo, jokes on them. Trademark lawsuit coming at you. They thought they were going to avoid getting sued. They didn't realize that an upstart bandy young man, three men in a... Bro, how do you do, like, context-wise, okay, and people have been following along, Ryerson, wasn't it Ryerson Engelbert or, like,
whatever, something like that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He was actually, like, an engineer of residential schools, right? And so, like, not even just passive, like, he was at the core of developing this strategy. And, you know, like we've always said, I think during COVID, because people were home a lot, some stuff came to light. People took action on things. People like, yo, we don't want to be named at this school. Legitimate. They pulled the man's statue down like he was Saddam Hussein in Fallujah. Like, it was a whole thing, right? So these guys do, like, I think, like, a year long, what were they called? Like, X University for a while. Like, their interim name was just like X University X, which is cooler than their current name.
Like Director X.
Director X, bro. And then you do this year long assessment. They probably paid some consultants, like, they probably paid the same consultants.
Bro, we could have finessed fucking Ryerson to fucking pay us to come up with Toronto Metropolitan
Honestly,
University.
Ryerson probably hired the same consultants that CNN Plus hired for their, like, 2 week streaming service that they, like, spent $100 million on launch in 2 weeks and canceled. That Deloitte was like, yeah, this is good. Not Deloitte. One of those
whatever
consulting. But they do this whole search for a name, right? And then they come up with the most generic name, like, Toronto Metropolitan University. Like, it sounds like a throwaway university in, like, the Superman series, bro. Like, it sounds like where Clark Kent went to university.
Metropolis.
You know what it sounds like? Like Thomas Cooley? Like,
yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Thomas Cooley, that law school that, like, made up their own rankings.
Yeah,
exactly. That was the best.
Say a word. They made up their own rankings.
So they had their own ranking system. This is, like, a total aside, but it fits in with random universe. Thomas Cooley is, like, a law school. And there's, like, a law school T20 ranking in the U.S. It's, like, the top 20 law schools, you know, like Stanford, Harvard, you know, Boston University, whatever.
Sure.
So, like, every ranking has, like, the same 20 schools or so. And then Thomas Cooley made one. And it's, like, all of those schools and then them.
they just slid them in at 21. No one will know. They're going to know. They're going to know.
How will they know? How will they know?
They're going to know.
It's like Drizzy always winning his basketball league that he owns. Like, I saw this clip. He, like, shot a three over somebody. And then he's, like, getting hype. He's like, Steph? Clay smiles me. Listing himself as the top 3-point shooter.
This guy's like fucking straight out of Chappelle Show. Dylan, 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 Dylan.
Yeah. Real talk, man. Real talk. What a silly name, bro. What a silly.
You know, you're not feeling it, eh?
It's dumb, bro. It's like, tell me you only have 60-year-old plus white men on your board of directors without telling me you have 60-year-old plus white men on your board of directors. Like, I get it. It's hard. It's like, who is that guy who bought, there's some lawyer in DC who bought the Redskins name, right? Mm-hmm. He basically bought all the cool names that the Redskins could think about. So they had to just be the Washington football team. I think they're still just the Washington
football team. They're just the Washington team. Football team, yeah.
Like, they is right? Like, and I get it. You have Toronto University, but it's just, it seems like that. It's like, I get it. I'm sure all the good names are probably taken, but, like, just name it after another person. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, name it after an Aboriginal person.
Yeah. What a missed opportunity.
What a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Like,
Jesus.
Right? Like, you could be like, okay, I think, what are we on the, I know, because every time you go to any event in Toronto, they do land greetings and then completely ignore
land acknowledgements.
Land acknowledgements. Like, hey, these are land acknowledgements. All right, time to get the show on the road.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, we're on the Adirondacks or the Hurons. Like, why don't you pick one of those thing, right? Call it, like, Anishinaabe University. Like, anything. Like, Toronto. It's, like, the most generic name. It's like naming your it's like, this is called Vanilla University.
Yo, to be honest, like, if my kid got into TMU, like Toronto Metropolitan, I'd be like, that's a made-up school. I would have thought 100% like, that's not an actual university.
I'd be like, you're lying.
If my kid tells me, oh, I got into TMU, I'd be like, you're getting scammed.
Carrying on the legacy of not believing your children as a brown father, everything's a lie.
But, like, bro, you think I'm going to give you money for something, for this fake thing? I was like, okay. What drugs are you doing? What drugs are you doing? What drugs are you doing? Just tell me. I'd rather give you the money and just you tell me you're doing drugs.
show me the enrollment letter.
Show me the enrollment letter. Bro, that's made up too.
Yeah. If they go through that much effort to make, like, a realistic looking crest, Like, yeah. Take the money, bro. Go do
your nah, bro. In the olden days, I'd say yes, because you need to learn Photoshop or something. Now you got Canva, bro. I could, like, on the break, I will leave on the break and I will create the branding for a university in 5 minutes. I will come back to you guys. I will create an admission package for, like, Toronto Existential University, TEU, right? Toronto Philosophical University. Now that we know that gateway is open for shitty naming, I can make up so many universities on Canva. I'll be done in 5 minutes.
I mean, real talks, bro. Bring the kids over to Toronto Man's University still, yo. We can school them on the real.
We're the real TMU.
Yeah, we're the real TMU, bro. We will just... You will learn so much here. And on intern, we'll teach you how to create your own fake universe. That's cool.
All right, we'll be right back. And we are back. So, yo, RC, my man's all, yo, Ramadan's done. Eid's over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got your month of blessings. Yo, this guy's
clean
man's
slate.
Clean slate. Slate. This guy is a fully replenished sin bank, ready to go. You ready to roll?
Oh,
we got
man.
30 days. We got 30 days.
Ready to make some deposits in the sin bank.
Yeah, ready to make some deposits. We have 30 days until Toronto Man's batch. You know what I'm saying? So yo. TMB,
Toronto, TMB,
TMB,
TMB, TMB. I did write an ad for TMU during the break. It's like, so, yo, you're sitting at the home. You don't have any things. You don't have any jobs. You don't have a thing. Come to Toronto Man's U. Why are you even sitting? And take the guy from the Everest commercial. Put him in Toronto Man's U. Yo, this year I'm going for bonus plus. Like, I'm maxing out my RRSP before we go to Vegas. So I had Ramadan, right?
Yeah.
Stats kicked in. Did not lose weight. Did not lose weight.
That's okay. It's right now. Oh, yeah. We have exactly, it's a 30-day shred, bro. You got the 30-day shred.
I reframed
it for 30 days.
That's what I'm saying. I tried that already. Didn't work. I saw this AJ Plus ad. It's actually not our fault. But this another thing we can finally blame colonialism for is historically, just so you know, we have generations of food starvation trauma in the South Asian body.
That is a fact.
Yo, that's real. I heard about all the famines.
Yep.
That's a fact. And so we developed, you're like every brown man gets married within 30 days, somehow lost his hair and has that uncle belly. Like, how? And then everyone's like, RC, why aren't you getting married? I'm like, I don't want to look like my dad yet, bro. I love him. Don't want to look like him yet. All right.
Basically, as soon as you sign the paper, it starts the 30-day cycle in which you mentioned, you lose your hair and you get your pot belly.
You ran some sort of hold off. I think you're doing well. Like your hair is looking fuller. I don't know. You may have beat some seek. Again, I think maybe it doesn't apply to stonecutters. Stonecutters don't. So that's starvation. The starvation diet kicked in. And I just realized, I'm like, when I fast, people are like, how do you gain weight when you fast? Like, when I fast, first of all, when I deprive myself of things, which is going to kick into TM batch because I've been depriving myself of everything. So when I get, like when I deprive myself of food, then I max out on it when it's time to eat. So I've deprived myself of sin for 30 days. I'm going to deprive myself of sin for another 30 days because now I have to focus on losing the weight. So you're shredded.
Doubling down on the,
down.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that scene in Scary Movie, bro.
You know, in like The Simpsons when Bart wants to play a prank on Homer and he shakes the shit out of the pop can and he puts it on a paint can fucking shaker.
And
just shakes the shit out of it, then he has it like carefully placing it into the fucking fridge and it's just shaking, ready to erupt. Fucking RC's dick is just ready to fucking explode.
That's fucked for a lot, bro. We're still in the 6 days that you gotta fast after. Bro, I'm telling you, bro, man's like it's just like all things are brewing for this, like, you know, when like another Simpsons reference, like remember when Barney, they're in the space program and then Barney stops drinking And then he's like, oh, okay, we're going to celebrate. Barney, you've been selected over Homer. And he drinks the non-alcoholic beer. He's like, it begins. It's like, that was non-alcoholic beer. It's like, I've been so good for 30 days. Then the next 30 days, man's going to be living in the gym. Just like living in the gym, like two classes a day, three classes.
I was going to say, start doubling down, bro. Yo,
two, I literally touched down in Vegas. I'd be like, it begins. So
rampage. She's going to go on a rampage.
Yeah. Yeah. So fuck colonialism. And
of course,
man, you know, it's going to be, I'm in it. I'm ready for it, bro. I'm ready.
Telsey, right. How are you feeling, bro?
Yo, I'm just so happy. We got 1 month.
1 month?
Telsey, 1 month.
I think Telsey specifically went out. He probably went to one of those get COVID parties because he wants to get it. Yeah, exactly. He went to like Western University. He's like, hey, you got COVID? Somebody give me COVID.
Get over here.
Somebody give me COVID. Yeah.
This guy started licking the person with COVID.
It's basically the same idea as one of your cuddle puddles. Everyone gets catches COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's going to catch something in a cuddle puddle. Might as well add COVID to the
mix. This guy went to a COVID cuddle puddle. Then he made his way to Niagara Falls, got his Nexus. Good on you, my man. Good on you.
I'm excited to use that biometrics. Get my Nexus card.
Yo.
That's how you know America prides capitalism over all things. Because it's like, a brown man who shows up to the airport looking like you without a Nexus, immediately going to extra screening.
Oh, 100%.
But if you pay $200 a year or whatever,
it's 50 bucks.
They'll let you on the plane with switchblades, bro. Like, and then they're not even going to check your luggage. It's like the old days when the pilots used to be drug smugglers.
They're like, no, he's good. He's got the card. Good.
Bro, how did you squeeze out one of those Nexus appointments?
Bro, I've been looking for an appointment for months, bro. I can't find shit. Yo, this guy somehow gets it within fucking 2 weeks.
Just got lucky. They literally just opened it up, I think at the end of April. And you just got to just be on that website. Just keep checking it on the daily. And then as soon as an appointment pops up, just snag it. Just go for it. And then you got to make the trek down to Niagara Falls. But not the good side, not the Canadian side, the shitty side, the American side.
The burned out side. Bro, I mean, in all like fairness, ghetto, Canadian, and I stand by this slogan and like, yo, shout out to any of our fans in Niagara. And like, I appreciate what y'all do for the economy, but Niagara's a dump. Like, yeah. Let's be honest, Niagara's a dump. Canadian side's a dump. You take three steps off that block, it's like burned down houses. Like how? Yo, why?
But at least we have Clifton Hill.
We got Clifton Hill. And then also like Niagara region, like when you go outside Niagara on the lake or all the vineyards and all that decent. Man's went to fucking St. Catharines one time, got cheese fucking fine.
We stand by it. I'm sure people in Niagara say it too. Like, if you step off of Clifton Hills, it's like, no, don't. Listen,
don't step off.
But yeah, that's true. So you had to go out there. Yeah. Cause the thing is, normally I wouldn't be too fussed about getting the Nexus, but bro, I've been seeing these videos. People like, what's happening at Pearson?
Yo, Pearson looks like a nightmare.
One guy posted his video. He's like, yo, if you're going to Pearson, get there 3 hours early, which they tell you to do, but like nobody does, except for brown people. We get there 4 hours early because we know we're going to be in addition.
There's all those extra pieces of luggage that your brown aunties are trying to get on the plane.
Beta, can you take this olive oil with you? Why?
They can get olive oil there. Don't worry.
They grow olive oil there. Yeah. Why do they want Unico olive oil?
You're going to Italy.
Like we always get there 4 hours early anyways. Yeah, but exactly. Like, but white people don't. Like white people go in flip-flops and pajamas. And yeah. So they're totally fussed when they gotta stand in line, bro.
Their Nexus passes their skin.
Yeah. You have Nexus? No, I have a lack of melanin in my skin.
Right this way, sir.
But like people were going and like they haven't seen these lineups at security before. Because they're used to like, you know, and so it's like this guy's like, yeah, come 3 hours early. Make sure you pee before you get in line. Fill up your water bottle. I'm like, are you going on Hudge? Bro, like, where are you going, bro? Like, what's happening? Like, why are the line? Like, jeez. It's not even March break. Like, what's happening? What is accounting for this massive influx of delays at Pearson?
Don't you know? Pandemic's over, baby.
Yo, bro, tell us. Come give me this COVID real quick. But I don't want to fuck around and like at the end of the month, I have to do this test. Then something. Yo, I can't miss Vegas. And so all of a sudden I'm thinking about like contingency plans where I need to like, yo, day before do the test. Somehow it becomes positive. I need to drive to Buffalo, catch the next flight, knock out a pilot, drive a single engine Cessna across the country.
I'm gonna hijack a flight just to go to Vegas, bro.
Like, we had reports. We thought there was a terrorist attack in progress, but we have actually spoken to the terrorists. We have a live feed of the terrorists, just me and Lala. Like, no, we just trying to go to Vegas. Yeah,
I can't miss Toronto Man's batch, son.
Toronto Man's batch, bro.
By any means necessary, bro.
Any means necessary.
Yo,
that's, you gotta hijack a plane. You gotta do it.
Yo,
you gotta
do it. Guy, if it's Billy Bishop, if it's Buttonville, whatever, bro. I'm taking
Downview Airport. They don't even have planes there anymore.
Doesn't matter, bro. I'm taking that single propeller plane, guys. I'm spinning the wheel like his fucking Price is Right and getting the fuck out. You know what I'm saying?
This guy's like the Wright brothers. Like me and Lala just standing outside trying to launch a new. Bro, I just imagine Lala like he's like that, like in GTA 5 when you finally figure out how to steal the helicopter.
Yeah. Bro, I'm about to fuck around like Super Mario where he gets the cape and he gets the run. Then he makes the balloon behind him and starts fucking just float gliding. You know what I'm saying?
I'm about to do all that shit all the way. Whatever it takes, bro. Whatever it takes.
Any means necessary, yo. You ain't missing Toronto Man's back.
No, I was gonna land the plane right on the strip. It doesn't even go to the airport, just lands on the strip.
Yo. He lands on the hotel. You know they all have hotel, that like just crashes into the room. He's like, I'm good to go. I didn't pack any luggage, but I did bring a plane.
Bro.
Oh my god.
The excitement's ready, bro. It's T minus 30 days. You can't fuck around, yo. It's like
one month, baby. This is it. Make it count.
T minus 30 days. T minus 30. At this point, we're going to have to do something insanely epic because now we told people about it. Like we can't just show up like guys show up Vegas, like, yo, Vegas not ready for us. Then it's just like eight guys in dress shirts.
Well, I mean, we're going to be doing some kind of a live from Vegas, right?
Has to.
Oh, yo, have to. Yeah.
It depends on where we are. Like maybe before and after, but no during.
Yeah. It's like, live from Pearson.
Anything. We won't promise anything.
Yeah. Live from Pearson. That's it.
Live from Pearson.
Live from the hijacked plane. You get to see the full stream. Yeah.
We're gonna live stream it, bro. We're taking Drake's plane, actually. It's only fair.
Have you seen his plane? Bro.
It's big. I feel like Air Canada wants
fucking jumbo jet, bro.
Guy, every time I've seen pictures of it, I'm like, is this a plane? I can't tell. I legitimately can't tell because you know how normally planes have rows and shit.
Yeah,
he's got like couches.
I feel like he's in like that plane group with like the Saudi princes and stuff.
For sure.
Like, just like they have a plane WhatsApp groups. Like, yo, I added a bed to my plane. It's like, oh really? I added a pool. Like, mashallah, brother. This is why this guy's he's amped up all the time. If I had that plane, like, I watched this clip of him. I don't know. I guess Drake has his own basketball league or something. And like Lowry was talking about it because he's like, they were talking to Lowry, like, do you play Drake? Yeah, he's like, yo, he always plays me one-on-one. I don't know why he wants to do that. I always smash him. He's like, Drake, you don't want this with me, bro. You don't want this. Every time he tries to play me. But he like has a basketball league and somehow his team wins every time. And so there's a clip of him shooting a three. And then after he shoots the three, he's so amped. He's like, Steph, Clay, me. I'm like, okay, this guy's he's winning so much. He now thinks he's in the top three shooters of all time.
It's like that movie, The Dictator, with fucking Sacha Baron Cohen, where he just let him win everything. And he starts shooting fucking
in the Olympics. But you know what? In all fear it is, I feel like, okay, so our boys, the Raps, went out. They went out.
But they went out properly.
Valiant like, run.
Respectable.
Yeah.
Round of applause for the man's.
Yeah. Yo, that game three should have been ours. This could effectively, it should have gone to seven, realistically. You know what I'm saying? Like game three was ours. Game four was definitely ours. And we went back to Philly, took one. You know what I'm saying? So like.
Yeah. It was, the thing is, I feel like this time was cool because Philly pulled it out. And in all fairness, they should have. They are the better team. Like, it's the truth. Yeah. They're a better team, right? Like, but because there was no real expectation on us this time, like, I feel like Philly was the one getting tight. Like, they were getting nervous for a little while. Had Embiid not hit that three. First of all, don't like Embiid.
Don't like it.
Said it. Don't like him. Man's trash. Okay? Adding him to my list of players I don't like.
We had it going good in game six until halftime. right? Like, it was off by 1 point, and then fucking, I don't know what the fuck happened in the third quarter.
So this is the challenge with the new. So he hit that three. He basically gave us like a reverse Kawhi. That was a big three he hit in game three that
yeah.
they won.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because like he hit that three.
He hit that three on the like off the inbound, which by the way, like the defense.
He's gotten significantly better.
It was crazy. No defense. They left him fucking wide open. It's garbage.
He's a big dude. Like he's gotten significantly better. I think if he keeps improving, he's going to be a problem for people. But Pascal gave him a nice little knock because he did that stupid airplane thing. Then he got a little elbow. Caught a little elbow, and now he's got a concussion. But
he's at an MVP level year almost.
Yeah, he's. I think he's been in the running.
He's definitely in the conversation.
He didn't get it, but he's in the convo. So they're dope, and then they got some good players. Their fans are trash. Philly fans are trash.
Dog shit, bro.
Philly fans are garbage, bro. Like, I'm saying that you guys are like, you're booing your own team. Okay. You're leaving the stadium early on mass exodus. Like,
you would never have that in Toronto. Never.
Yeah. Okay. In all fairness, in games, there was a clip of fans leaving from ACC early, like Scotiabank Arena early. And then the people in Jurassic Park were like booing them. They're like, go back inside, go back inside. Right. Which like, but see, here's what I think. I feel like when fans leave in Toronto early, it's because man's live in Milton. Like, they're not leaving because they don't love their team and don't believe in their team. They're just like, bro,
got a long commute.
Yeah. Like I already without traffic, I'm driving an hour and a half back home. So if I get stuck in that ACC Scotiabank Arena parking lot,
straight up,
I'm not getting home. No, I might as well just stay downtown and go to work in the morning.
But either way, 90% of that crowd was still there and they still standing owed them and like gave them a good, you know what I mean, round before they actually left at the end of that game. They gave them the respect at the end of that season. I'm saying so.
Raps fans they're super loyal. They always root for the team. Philly fans are trash. They came on my brother was in like a Facebook Raps group and like Philly fans are there like, yeah, you guys are trash. Like you guys suck. You're shit fans. Fairweather fans, you boo your own team, all about performance. You have no loyalty to your team. You only want them when they're winning, bro. You're like a trash girlfriend, bro. Like, this is trash, bro. Like honestly, you only can perform. Here's the only qualm I have about Raps fans. And also, shout out to Scotty.
Scotty, we'll get to that.
So here's my only qualm. Is that qualm? I think it just comes from a level of insecurity. Because if you look at it, and I feel like we could talk about this after in the time we have left, because I'm curious about that GROAT list, like greatest Raptor of all time. But I think the challenge is because, unfortunately, there's still like a stigma. We're not able to like big stars don't want to come to Toronto, right? Yeah. They don't want to cut. Like, look at the ones we had. We had Vince. He was like a homegrown talent, mm-hmm. unexpected. Mm-hmm. And then we got Kawhi. Literally, it was like a perfect high risk maneuver that paid off.
Right.
But it wasn't his. Like, he only came here so that he could like get out of San Antonio and move on.
I feel like a lot of these kids in the States who are like superstar level don't want to come up here because of like whatever they just feel like it's a foreign country, tax reasons, have in their head, right?
Right. There's no magic. As if it's any different Toronto,
here than it is in fucking Minnesota or fucking Milwaukee. Yeah. Like
that's what I'm saying. So there's a lot of stigma. So because of that, and because we've always just been wanting to win, I think what happens is we have this history of putting players higher than their skill level. And we root for them a little, like look at even this year's playoffs, right?
Yeah.
If you look at DeMar had one of the seasons of his life,
mm-hmm.
with Chicago. Kyle had one of the best seasons of his life. Even friggin' Jonas Valanciunas was having one of the best seasons of his life.
Still decent players, and right?
You see this historically. You saw it with even Bosch. Like what happens is I think the pressure in Toronto, if somebody's good, we want them to be an all-star.
Of course.
We want them to be an all-star. And we hope that, we expect that of them. We ask them of them. And a lot of these guys.
And a lot of times they do make it to that level though, right? Like,
and they are.
Look, Fred's made it. Pascal's made it. DeMar's made it. Bosch made it.
Players are all stars, right? But I think there's a difference between all-star and being like a superstar.
Superstar, of course.
Right? And so what happens is we want everyone to be a superstar. And so we kind of put them on this pedestal and expect so much from them. Whereas if you look at a lot of these guys when they leave, like DeMar got the best option for himself in Chicago, which was they're just like, yo, we just want you to be in the point, in the paint scorer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he got to do that. And then in all fairness, if you looked at the playoffs, he still wasn't able to go to that next level and put his team up. So I think, so to your point about what happened in game when we lost was like, basically you came out and you just saw the difference. Like the problem with this new NBA is everyone wants to and tries to be Steph. You just have five dudes standing around the paint, everyone's shooting three. So if you come down and you shoot five threes and miss them and the other team hits five threes, you're all of a sudden you're down by 15, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so like, we got some solid guys. I like Gary Trent. He's dope. But like, if you look at Gary Trent's shooting percentage, it's like 33%, right? Because the guy's taking like 25 touches. And I'm thinking if Gary Trent was on a team with probably more all-stars and superstars, maybe he's like seventh guy in off the bench. He's getting like a half the playing time, half the touches. That's my only qualm about Toronto. It's like, we just want those winners so bad that like, yeah, dude, it's the NBA. If you're shooting 20 shots a night, you're going to score points, you know?
For sure.
That's all. That's my only thing about that.
Yo, you were saying earlier, Scotty. Shout out to Scotty, rookie of the year.
Big season.
Big season. Big huge season.
Big season. Can't take that away from
it. Yo, that was huge. I'm sure everyone saw, but there was the video that of them presenting it to him.
Man. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was legit. You got it. You got the, yo, Nick Nurse comes out. He's like, hey, everyone, come gather around. And you have, yo, your boy Vince coming through saying, yo, this is, you know, this has only happened three times in our history. Yo, first with Damon, then with Vince. And then he presents it to our boy Scotty, which is sick. Yo, this guy. And yo, you know what? Some of the biggest people in the league are singing praises of Scotty. They're like, yo, this guy's a freak, athletic as fuck, crazy work ethic. Just like, yo, he's a special player. So, yo, shout out to Scotty.
Looks like a high schooler for some reason.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Even OG looks like he's 16, bro. This is,
I love, I mean, OG, like, man.
Yeah. I mean, I say, you know what? It's a fun young team. I think they're probably, and there's a lot of discussion. People were talking about Pascal. Pascal, I think he had a good series. Like he really stepped up after the games that he didn't play that well. I think it's going to be interesting to see what their game plan is right now. That's all. Because you have this young team. And they said, in all fairness, Pascal's the age that Mar was when they traded him away, right?
It's kind of like, yo, now's the time to cash in. Like, sad to say, but cash in and bring in, if you can, for some way. Like, if anyone can do it, it's Masai. But basically, cash him in for a superstar and make a run. Because we have, like, we have all the right pieces. We're just missing that one extra cut.
Or I think they're just going to try and build around Scotty. Right. I think that's what they're going to do. I like Scotty a lot. Again, in the vein of what I was talking about earlier, like, I don't want to jump the gun. Like, I think he's fantastic.
Don't put the pressure on him the same way we've done to others.
Yeah. And I think it's the pressure on him. And like, in this NBA, sorry, like, to get there, you got to be a consistent shooter and you got to be a consistent 3-point shooter. Like, because that in the paint, high flying hustle points in the playoffs, team locked that down. They lock it down. Right. They lock that down. Teams lock up their defense. So that's something he's going to have to develop. Right. You even watched that with Giannis, why he's on a tear right now. He's starting to shoot more. Right. So it's exciting playoffs. And I think, but yeah, like, I think my cap on this, and I definitely one day want to talk about greatest Raptor of all time. I feel like
we'll do that. We'll definitely bring that up.
I feel like maybe a fun one. I think what we should do, hold out for 2 years, get a low pick, draft Bronny. Then LeBron's going to come here.
and then we have 40-year-old LeBron playing here.
Yeah, we get 40-year-old LeBron, but then someone else will want to come play with him because of the money involved and the hype and all that stuff. And then maybe that'll be another chance for a run. You know, maybe AD comes over. AD comes over again.
Yo, AD's like, made out of glass, bro. I don't want that guy here. Yo, I
know. But maybe that's his year to stay clean, bro. You know what we do? We sign AD to a playoffs only contract. Playoffs only contract. Just show up for the playoffs. Don't play all year. Show up to the contract.
Hope all the role players do enough to make it to the playoffs and then bring those guys in.
Yo, that's, bro. And my offer still stands, yo. Like, we talked about it last week.
Give RC the $1 contract, bro. Give it to him.
Give me the $1 contract, yo. Mans are in my TikTok tagging Raptors continuously. I have a clip right now that's everyone's like, yo, Raptors, sign this man. Raptors, sign this man. $1. What next? You know what? Let's get a jump on it. Get me in line now so that whoever we're playing first, I'll karate kick anybody. I will karate kick anybody in this league.
I would pay top dollar to see RC karate kick Yo, Liu Kang kick Draymond Green in the nuts the way he
Draymond, I will do for free. That's what I'm saying. Draymond, I'll do for the $1 is for Steph, and then the free is Draymond, bro. And I will get my ass beat. Don't get me wrong.
But you're sacrificing yourself.
I take a beating. I take a beating every day of my life, bro. From life, general bills, taxes, CRAs. I'll take a beating for the Raptors. I don't give a fuck.
And on that note, it's been another episode of Toronto Man's Pod. It's your boy Lalo.
Yo, this RC, aka Liu Kang.
We out.
Peace.